What happens when a Catholic deacon matches wits with a Catholic radio show host? You get a marriage made in heaven. They may not always agree, but they're always faithful. It's the Aikens with their View from the Pew on Modern Day Radio.
And welcome to this episode of View from the Pew. I am your host, Brenda Aiken, and joining me today, as always, is the man who's glad he doesn't have to do the Christmas shopping, the good deacon, Scott Aiken. And also joining us today is the reason why he doesn't have to do the Christmas shopping, our amazing daughter. Daughter number three, Ashlyn, is joining us.
Well, I'm so grateful that you went with Mom to do the Christmas shopping because it freed me up to do things here at home and save me from the sticker shock that I would otherwise have on my face. But I understand you guys actually did good.
Ashlyn, you and I did pretty well today doing the shopping, didn't we? We're good partners.
We're good partners, definitely, when it comes to the shopping.
Now, of all of the children, out of our four children, they do break up genetically, whereas I'd say our oldest daughter is most like you. Then our next daughter is your side of the family, maybe more the Native American side of the family. Our son is like almost a replica of my dad. But when it comes to our daughter, Ashlyn, it feels like stereo sometimes in the house, I know, for you, because we... not only do we look the most alike, we sound alike. And when we talk and laugh or intonate in certain ways, it's identical. I mean, and so much so, even social media will tag me saying, I think you're in this picture, when in fact, it's Ashlyn. So you get, it's like two for one right now.
Right. When I get chewed out, I get two chewing me out instead of one.
Exactly.
Oh, I like that. While I've got you here with us today, Ashlyn, here's my question for you. So in 2007, when Dad was ordained to the permanent diaconate, you were 4 years old. So I would say you probably don't really ever remember a time when Dad wasn't a deacon.
No.
As far as you know, right?
No, I've always saw him as the deacon.
Right.
Yeah.
So my question to you then, as all of these years that you have grown up, you went through elementary school, middle school, at the school that Dad was assigned as a deacon,
right,
and then into the high school years, did you feel like there was maybe an added stress that you had to be a certain way when we were in church because you knew people would associate us to Dad?
Right. Especially when I was at a Catholic school, you feel like you need to hold a reputation. And I kind of held one, especially within my classes. The older I've gotten, and that I still go to the same church that Dad is deacon
right
at, I feel like I want to be able to show good face in a way, just because I'm very proud of the work that Dad does, and I kind of want to reflect that in how I greet others or be able to interact when I'm at church. But having so many years of since I've only seen him as the deacon, it just comes so naturally to me, and I feel like that just really, whenever I go actually into church, it's just there.
It just is how it is.
Yes.
Now, I don't know about how you feel, but hearing that, well, I feel like we've done our best to shield them from whatever thing was happening or going on or whatever they, you know, were troubled with. I do feel bad a little bit that they feel like they had to be different or better than, because it reflected on you and I together.
Yeah, I suppose that's the mantle of the deacon coming to a couple and then to a family, you know, and in terms of its expansiveness. The diaconate is to bring about that presence, and that presence isn't just with the deacon. It's with his marriage and with his family. And so I just think that's naturally the way that happens. But do you think it was something that was constantly on your mind, or do you think you just kind of accepted that as part of it?
No, it was definitely just how I grew up. I don't feel like I hold any pressure in any way, or if it's a constant reminder on my part. It's definitely, it just kind of how we grew up, and it's just very ordinary. Yeah, there's no pressure to it.
Well, the hope that I had in the ordination, I remember it specifically, is that it would be a blessing to you all, first and foremost. And what we've seen is that all of our children have grown up into young adults who are practicing the faith, who are believing on their own, who have accepted Christ in their heart as adults. And boy, that's just a blessing I can't deny, and is a truth that is beautiful.
Well, I would also say, too, a truth that is beautiful is that when we weren't at church and we were at home, life very much felt regular all the time. That the children were not always perfect, and they were all, there was need for correction, and we were less than perfect as parents, and so we were regular. And I think that's kind of the beautiful part about your diaconate with our family being as young as it was, is that we were living life the same way as everybody else that was attending church, that were also raising children, that we had struggles, they had accidents, we had times where it was really upsetting. And then there were times where life was just so beautiful because of your diaconate. And that kind of leads us to today's show. And we'll talk a little bit more about what life was like raising children in the faith and how they see it now, because our guest today is Cy Kellett. Oh, you recognize that name because he is the host of Catholic Answers that you listen to every afternoon here at Mater Dei Radio. He, along with Steve Dawson, wrote a new book, How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone, Tested Techniques for Planting Seeds and Saving Souls. He's coming up next. We'll talk a little bit more about how it is that we can talk about Jesus in our own homes and to anyone.
Yeah, when we come back, we'll explore a little bit more about that. I think that we need to be aware that we can't be performative in our faith. We need to be authentic, and we can talk about that as how we did that.
So stay with us. We got a great show ahead for you on this week's View from the Pew.
I gave a talk recently, and an older man with a walker approached me afterwards. I think he had had a stroke, but he was still strong and full of life. His eyes lit up as he started to give me some unsolicited parenting advice. He said, "I have four girls, and starting on their fifth birthday, I pull up my antique Chevy, ring the doorbell, and give them flowers and take them on a date." Tears started streaming down his face as he said, "And when I turned 50, they all came to my door with flowers and took me on a date." Dads, it doesn't take much time or money to make your kids feel really, really special. Anything from an ice cream date to asking how her day was and listening to the answer. But it does take focused one-on-one time. Look, you might regret a lot of things when you're looking back at life someday. One thing I can promise you you won't regret is wasting focused time on those kids. Make sure you do it. This is Chris Stefanik. For more of our men's program, visit reallifecatholic.com.
One of the many ways you can help Mater Dei Radio is by supporting our Leadership Circle members. These are businesses and organizations whose names you hear on the air every day. They believe in our mission of providing the region with positive Catholic radio programs. Our Leadership Circle members keep our broadcast strong through their financial generosity. How can you find out more about our Leadership Circle members? Go to our website at materdeiradio.com and click on the Get Involved menu. You'll be learning about a great group of people.
It's Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken with their View from the Pew on Mater Dei Radio.
Jesus said it himself, and he did not mince words, that we are to make disciples of all of the nations. But I think it was also Moses who said, "How can I do this when I do not have the words?" Well, Steve Dawson and Cy Kellett, they are going to offer you the words we need and know how to talk about Jesus with anyone. That is the name of their new book. And our good friend Cy Kellett is joining us again to talk more about it. Good morning, Cy.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
So I would imagine there may be a person or two listening that go, "All right, Brenda, you're on the morning show every day talking about Jesus. Cy Kellett, I listen to him every afternoon talking about Jesus." And so maybe, you know, people looking at us think, well, it's easy for you because you talk for a living. But, you know, it can be intimidating for people. Why is that so difficult for so many people to talk about Jesus, who we know that all things come from in our lives?
You know, I think, honestly, I think part of what makes it difficult is the social awkwardness. And that social awkwardness is intensified by a couple things. We kind of developed an American standard that you don't talk about politics and religion in polite society. And that was, it kind of kept the peace for a long time in a pluralistic society here in the U.S. But honestly, I'll be very honest with you. I think there's something, an even much greater influence on why we're uncomfortable about it. And that's, well, 70 or 80 years of Hollywood, in which the Christian character in the TV show or the movie is increasingly deranged, weird, odd. If you watch a Netflix movie mm-hmm. or a TV show, and you see someone come on who is profoundly, openly, and vocally Christian, just bet on that person being the murderer by the end, or being the evil, the bad energy behind whatever's going to happen. Because the media stereotype is that if you want to talk about Jesus, you are a weirdo and there's something wrong with you. And I think that has to do with a great deal of prejudice among the people who are making these things. I don't think they even see their own bias in how they're depicting. Now, if you see someone who's a Christian and also has a Southern accent, I guarantee you that person is the murderer, or that person is the thief, or whatever is the bad. You know, that there is a prejudice about that. And I think we just don't want to be that person. You know, we've seen that person so many times in the media, we're intimidated about, and I do think some of that intimidation is intentional.
These are not benign images that we see on TV, and especially not what we are selling to our children. And this is all the more important why we need to be firm in our faith to be able to do this. But as I said, even in the Bible, you know, Moses said, Lord, how can I do this? I don't have the words. And of course, God thankfully gave us Aaron to help him. How do we begin the process then, knowing that maybe people won't necessarily accept our message, but we've got to be willing to stand in the fray and talk about our relationship with Christ? What do you tell people is the first thing they need to know?
Well, I would say two things to start with. The very first thing is getting comfortable in your own skin as a Christian. That is, you know, are you avoiding wearing a crucifix? Are you avoiding when somebody says, my mom's sick, saying something like, I'll pray for your mom? Are you avoiding making the sign of the cross before you eat in a restaurant? If you're avoiding all these simple signs that you are a Christian, just work on that. Start there. Stop avoiding these things. Because one of the things that makes it easier to talk about Jesus is to just let people know, make it upfront and clear that you are a Christian person. Most people, this is not going to be a problem for them. Those who, for whom it is a problem, I don't know if you really want to leave those people in charge of your life. Don't let them be in charge of your life. So first of all, just get comfortable with the signs, the symbols, the language of Christianity, and letting people know that that is your faith. Don't hide those things. And I think that right away already breaks the ice. And this is a term that Steve is the founder of St. Paul Street Evangelization, and he really knows this stuff. And he talks about breaking the ice a lot. That's the main thing, is to break the ice. The second thing to know is that you can learn icebreakers that don't make the other person feel trapped or stuck or like you pounced on them. You know, we'll talk a great deal in the book about making friends and listening to what other people have to say. These are very important things that Jesus did, and we need to imitate Jesus and the apostles and the saints in this listening to what other people have to say, not just shouting at other people or, dumping our message on them, so to speak. Jesus wasn't a person who just went around dumping his message on people who were not ready for it. He did a great deal, in fact, to help people to be ready for it. But the breaking of the ice part of it takes away a lot of that sense of, oh, my gosh, I'm stuck with this person who wants to talk about Jesus. As a matter of fact, in many ways, what you're doing when you're breaking the ice about it is you're asking the other person permission to share what you believe. And there's a whole large section of the book just about learning to share what you believe, what you know, what you have in your heart to share. And once you break that ice, you know, you can do it like Steve, his favorite way to break the ice with people who he does not know. And this really is pretty advanced stuff. You know, most of us are going to talk with people we already know. But Steve carries miraculous medals around with him, and he just gives them to people when the spirit moves. And he says, I'm a Catholic, and this is a Catholic medal, and I wanted to give it to you. You can have it and do with it what you like. And often that starts the conversation. See, he didn't trap the person. He didn't just start preaching at them about Jesus. He gave them a gift, and he left it up to them how to respond to receiving that gift.
You recognize that voice this morning. It is Cy Kellett. He is a host of Catholic Answers Live. You listen to that every afternoon right here at Mater Dei Radio. He's joining us today to talk about his new book called How to Talk About Jesus with Anyone, Tested Techniques for Planting Seeds and Saving Souls. Cy, for many people, Catholic Answers, that was the window or the door that led them to the Catholic faith. And I've listened to it for many, many years, but I listen to the apologists that come on the show and the experts, and I think, I've been a Catholic my whole life. I never knew that. I wouldn't know where to find that. I would not know the first thing about how to answer that person's question. If you want to talk about Jesus, how much do we need to know in order to be able to communicate? This is why I believe in Jesus, because, boy, I think I would be afraid of either one answering the question wrong or just not knowing it at all.
Well, evangelization is actually not theology. It's not apologetics. It's not catechesis. Evangelization is sharing good news. And that means all you have to know to begin evangelization is what God has done for you. Because all you have to share is what God has done for you. You are not required to, Jesus didn't tell us, go get a theology degree and do what Scott Hahn does. You know, like there's very few people who can do that. Mm-hmm. And thank God that he gives us people like that. But we're not primarily in the answering theological questions business when we're evangelizing. We're in the, can I tell you about a wonderful thing that's happened in my life business? That's what we want to do. It's like, you know, you could compare it to anything, like someone who found a great restaurant becomes what we call an evangelist for that restaurant. What does that mean? Oh, he's a real evangelist for that restaurant because he loves to tell people how great it is. That's all you're doing. You're doing, does he know how to cook the dishes? Does he know how to, you know, put the plates together? Does he know how to pair it with, doesn't know anything except this is a restaurant that I love and it brings this joy to me. I want to share it with you. That's all we're doing when we're evangelizing. We should not be intimidated. If you can tell somebody about a restaurant you love, you can tell them about the Savior that you love. You can do it. You don't have to have more than that except a love for it.
Cy, the holidays are coming up. Would you recommend people bring up Jesus sitting down with their friends and family to share a meal together?
Yes, I would, but I would do it in a way that is not trapping people, you know, that is open and honest. If you plan to evangelize someone, the best way to evangelize is, as a matter of fact, openly and honestly is the only way to evangelize. We should never evangelize in a sneaky or manipulative way. But also, if you can, evangelizing with the person's permission is the way to do it. And so, like, if Thanksgiving might not be the day to evangelize, but it might be the day to ask if you could take someone out for coffee. It might be the day where you could say, you know, I love seeing you so much, and we've always had such a great relationship, and there's just something I'd like to share with you what I believe sometime, and would you have 5 or 10 minutes just to let me tell you what's happened in my life. And that's all I'll do. I'll just leave it there. And then don't trick them. If they say, yes, I could give you 5 or 10 minutes, then 5 or 10 minutes. Don't take an hour. Don't take 2 hours. Don't make a big speech. Tell them. It's a beautiful way to evangelize, as a matter of fact, because you got the person's permission. You're not imposing on them. You're sharing with someone you love about something you love. You know, sometime I'd like to tell you about my favorite movie. Yep. Could I get 5 minutes? Yeah, people would say yes to you. Well, you can do the same thing with Jesus. It doesn't have to be at the Thanksgiving. You relax. Enjoy your time at Thanksgiving. Let them enjoy their time at Thanksgiving. But say, you know, maybe it's the time to say, hey, I'd love to get together with you and have coffee sometime. I've been missing you. And then that's the time where you could say, you know, and maybe this is going to take several meetings, but you say, sometime if you have the time, you know, when you're out to coffee with this person, could I just tell you what I believe, or can I tell you what's happened in my life? Because you're important to me and I just want to share it. You are not asking them to do anything at that point. You are not making any demand. You're inviting them to a 5 or 10 minute conversation. You're going to share what you believe, and then you're going to thank them. And that's all you're going to do. You're going to thank them for listening, and that's all you're going to do. If they're ready, you know, if they say, you know, I'm fascinated by that, I'd love to know more, then you make an invitation. Would you like to come with me to church? Could we have coffee again? And we'll do. But the first thing you're going to do is find a way to get permission to share what you believe and what's happened in your life. This is a beautiful way to evangelize because, again, you're not trapping the person. You're not standing between them and the stuffing saying, oh, can I just tell you about Jesus? You're opening a conversation. You're not creeping people out.
That is perfect. And really, just, you're right. It may not be the Thanksgiving or the Christmas dinner table may not be the place to do that. But boy, they know that something is different about your life if you have got Jesus and you are working towards a holier life together, and people will be attracted to that. Well, it is a great book, Cy. Thank you. Thank you to Steve Dawson for putting this together. You lay it out so easily, and I appreciate your time today. Thanks for being with us.
I'm so grateful. Thank you for having me on.
If you could only say what you need to say, say what you need to say, say what you need to say, say what you need to say.
Scott, earlier this year, you and I had an opportunity when we were on vacation in San Diego. We took a stopover at Catholic Answers Live. I got a chance to talk with Cy Kellett. I was on the show with him that afternoon. It was a great experience. He is wonderful because he, you know, fields these questions from people who call in. And what we had talked about previously was he's amazed at the questions that people come up with, the questions that he never thought of himself. And so he's learned so much. And he also has the ability to talk with so many people because they're calling in all of the different guests. And this is a great book because you and I are blessed that we have jobs where they're in ministry. So we do get to talk about our faith a lot. And we talk about Christ daily. And we talked about it in our household, too, for our kids. So talk about a Christ-centered life. That's what we are living.
Yeah. And as I shared just before we entered into the interview that, you know, I think as cradle Catholics, maybe even converts to the faith, there is at times where we feel there's a compelling need to perform and to be pious in a performance way, which is not authentic to our faith. And I really stress that specifically because what we do in our ministry and what we've raised our children to be aware of is to be authentic. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Let your integrity lead you through troubles that you might struggle with, recognizing that it is God that has placed us in any moment of the day and therefore is with us. And if he's with us, then there's no need to perform. And when we're not performative and we're authentic, then that is what best is the discipleship of Jesus. That best represents that discipleship. To be authentic. Now, does that happen all the time? No, it's a constant practice that I think we all as family have really worked to develop.
So our children from first grade or kindergarten, really, and maybe our son got an extra year of pre-kindergarten class, all the way through eighth grade, they all went to Catholic school. But then they all went to our local public high school. So Ashton, now that you're still with us this show, I'll ask you this. The difference between going from elementary school, and granted you were young and in middle school, to the years that you were in a public high school, did it feel difficult for you to live your faith in the halls of people who had varying degrees of faith or no faith, or maybe very conservative or very liberal ideas. I mean, that was kind of all around you. Did you find it difficult to let people know that, well, this is what I believe. I'm a Catholic and I follow Jesus Christ. Or did that never really come up?
Especially when I first started high school, it definitely was like a culture shock, because you're with the same people throughout kindergarten through eighth grade, mm-hmm. and they already know that you're a Catholic, that you're the deacon's daughter. And so going into high school, where I'm surrounded by hundreds of different kinds of teenagers, grew up in very different, sparing lives in a way, it was definitely difficult initially to be very forthcoming on my faith, just because, I mean, teenagers can be very brutal or blunt.
Sure.
But the older that I've gotten, and especially after towards the end of my high school and when graduating, I feel more forthcoming on what my faith is, because I don't feel like I don't need to hide it. And if there is any kind of criticism towards it, I feel already so confident in my faith and strong in my faith that I don't feel like I need to hold any of that negativity on me.
I think, too, as you've grown older, too, you have become stronger in your faith. You know your faith better, and you're willing to be more bold to yes. those around you, for sure.
Yeah, and I think that all four of our kids have represented the faith in a way that is inviting to those who maybe have never had faith or had limited faith, like we were just talking about. And in that invitingness, in that presence that they've been in the school, they've been a light in the darkness for the people that they've interacted with. I think that's the risk that as parents we have to be willing to trust, that the Lord gives us moments to teach our children, and then we have to trust that they will do what we've shared with them as truth.
And we were just having the discussion this weekend, too, with our future daughter-in-law, of all of the places and neighborhoods when we were looking for our home more than 20 years ago, that we found all these neighborhoods that we really liked, but we landed on this one. And because of that one decision, clear across town, that our children went to the high school that they did, three of them met their partners, their husbands, and our son met his wife. All three whom they met were not Catholic at the time, but have become Catholic. And I'd like to think, and in fact, and I'm sure of, it was because of our strong faith and the way that we lived our faith in the household that made them want to become faithful and become Catholic themselves. Scott, before we go, will you end us in prayer?
Yes. Lord, we thank you for this great gift of faith that you plant within us from the very beginning of our life at the conception, recognizing that we are gift to the world, each and every one of us. And so help us to be that this week, to recognize that you have a purpose for us in the place, time, and culture that we've been brought to life in. We ask this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
And that is going to wrap it up for us today. Please tune in next week as we share with you more stories about our faith, our family, and our View from the Pew.
God bless and have a great week.
You've been listening to View from the Pew, a weekly look at faith and family life from a Catholic perspective with Deacon Scott and Brenda Aiken. For more information on the Aikens and to listen to an archive of their previous shows, visit them online at materdayradio.com/pew. View from the Pew is produced at the studios of Mater Dei Radio in Portland, Oregon.